Good morning. It is such a rich blessing to worship with you all today. I'm thankful for your pastor and his faithful ministry, thankful for Brother Tyler and his faithful ministry, and just pray the Lord to bless our time and our study from God's Word this morning. If you have your Bible and care to turn with me to the book of Genesis this morning, and we'll go to chapter 31, and Lord willing, we'll start with this passage and two passages in chapter 31 and then work our way backward. It's been a while since I've been here. The last time we were here, part of the message ended up going to Ecclesiastes and the fear of the Lord, and then Brother Joe cleaned it up, and he talked about the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, how the fear of the Lord let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Since that time, my mind has been on a good bit of studying through the fear of God, and there's a passage I hadn't considered before that I'd like us to consider this morning, and I'll be very mindful of the time as this can get too big. But in verse 42 of chapter 31, we'll start verse 41, but these are the words of Jacob. And we know that Jacob is the son of Isaac, who is the son of Abraham. We often refer to God being the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Well, here we're on the third generation with Jacob. And Jacob has been bamboozled by his father-in-law. And we're not going to go into the details of that. He's going to talk about it just a little bit. But then he's going to talk about his father's relationship with God. And I'd like that be our focus today. And so verse 41, "Thus I have been 20 years in thy house," speaking to his father-in-law. "I have served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times." The injustice of it all. All right? How does he respond? He says, "Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God hath seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight." You know, he ended up coming out with great riches because of the providence of God in this situation. But I found it very interesting in setting out the fear of God that in this passage, he says, "The God of my father, who is Isaac, and the God of Abraham," and then he uses this descriptor. He says, "and the fear of Isaac." Now, Tyler can give you the fancy name. I already forgot it. But that this is a description of the relationship that defined Isaac and God. That Isaac's life was defined by the fear of God. The fear of Isaac. In further on in the chapter, he says, "the fear of my father, Isaac." If there was one description that was given to us concerning our relationship with God, that would be a very lofty descriptor. A very lofty descriptor that our life was defined as having a fear towards the Lord, a fear of God. Now, I ask Brother Tyler for some prayers in focusing this in, because the fear of the Lord is no small topic in Scripture. It goes from cover to cover. But the fear of the Lord is so central to our understanding of our relationship with God, and it needs a balance. It needs a focus. On one hand, God comes to Abraham, and what are some of the first words out of his lips to Abraham? "Fear not." Guess what? He repeats those same words to Isaac, "to fear not." That our relationship with God isn't defined by us being afraid of God, in that sense, where we can't approach unto him, where we can't draw help from in time of need. But at the same time, we can take that idea too far and not leave God in his proper and lofty place and position. And then we begin to, if you will, come to another thought, and this is helpful to me, to consider passages like Leviticus 19 and 3. Leviticus 19 and 3 says, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." All right. You all have met my mother, or many of you have. Am I afraid of my mother? Well, Sometimes I am. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I am. But here, the word fear is drawing on a relationship component that should exist between us and our fathers and us and our mothers. Now, fathers aren't supposed to provoke their children to wrath. There shouldn't be that element of us not being able to go to our father for help, but there is that reverential place that we put in our life where we honor them and we honor their will and we honor their ways and we show due respect unto them. Now, that's to our parents, but how much more so to the creator of the universe? How much more so to the God of all glory, that there is a reverential awe that we have towards God and that we desire to do his will out of gratitude and his graciousness to us, where we understand just how great he is and who he is and our desire to please him and only him. Our desire to please him and only him. Now, I find it interesting that Jacob here looks at his life, the life of his father, and he defines it as the fear of Isaac. That's referring to God, the fear, it's a noun, of Isaac. I love to focus or to think about the thought that that's just a singular. It's not a multiple. If you go to the next passage when he's talking with his father-in-law, who is an idolater, who worships multiple gods, that has even more of a contrast, doesn't it? That there is one true and living God. And he is the source of, it defined his life upon the earth, the fear of Isaac. So if the Lord would be our helper just for a little bit, I'd like to stir up your minds to think about the life of Isaac, to think about the fear that he had towards the Lord and how that defined his life. Now, Isaac was no normal child, was he? You all know that. Who's Isaac? Isaac is the seed of promise in Abraham's eyes. We know the ultimate fulfillment is Jesus Christ. But consider Isaac, born to his parents when his father's 100 and his mother's 90 years old. Now, my parents were a little bit older when I was born, and even my classmates noticed it. But think about if your parents, when you're born, were 190. Do you think Isaac was aware of that fact growing up? In fact, I think there's scripture to note that he was aware of it. He was taunted by Ishmael, and he was the promised seed. His very life was a miracle, and he was aware of that fact. How about us today? Are you aware of that fact today? You say, well, my mother wasn't 90, my father wasn't 100, but your very life is a miracle. I believe in similar fashion that we are fashioned and created by God individually. And we ought to have a reverential awe and wonder that the God of all glory would create us, would create you. Wow. Now that's just the starting point. And even more so in the life of Isaac. So we're just looking over a few incidents in the life of Isaac. We'll probably spend a good bit of time on this next one found in Genesis chapter 22. I didn't mention this, and I find it interesting. In the original passage that we read, that Jacob talks about the fear of his father, Isaac, that he had towards God. He doesn't talk about the fear that Abraham had towards God. Abraham did, and we're going to see in this passage, Abraham did fear the Lord. But I think there's a very practical lesson for us in that, that parents and fathers and mothers ought to raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That there is a passing of the torch, if you will, on how to walk by faith, how to fear the Lord, that happens generation to generation. And that it really doesn't do well to skip generations. It's hard for the torch to be passed from grandparents down to grandchildren. It's hard. Not impossible, but it's hard. And when we think about Jacob thinking about the life of Isaac, I don't think it's just these grand incidents. I think it's the day-to-day. I watched my dad make decisions based on what would please the Lord my entire life. And I watched the fruit of what occurred when he made those decisions his entire life. And he was able to see that example set forward. Now, we're old Baptists. We understand that man by nature has no fear of God. That's what Romans 3 says, that there is no fear of God before their eyes by nature. But to those of us who have been quickened and given eternal life and into that gracious state, we now have a fear towards God, that reverential awe, where we want to please our Heavenly Father. And you see that so active in the life of Isaac. We often consider chapter 22 from Abraham's perspective. What happens in chapter 22? God tempts Abraham, tells him to take his only begotten son Isaac up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. And we think about the amazing action of faith, and that's recorded of Abraham time and time again. If you will, this morning, as we consider the fear of Isaac, consider it from Isaac's perspective, this entire incident. Consider it for a moment. First of all, how old is he? Well, I'll give you a lower limit and an upper limit. I think the upper limit is about 37. 37 would be when I don't think he was 37, but that's when his mother passed away. But the lower limit, at least, and I would love to hear more on this, but from my studies, is he had to be old enough to carry enough wood up a mountain for a burnt sacrifice. Amen. And it also means that he was stronger than his father, because whoever was stronger would have been the one carrying the wood. So we're not talking about a child. We're talking about a willing young adult at the earliest. Okay? So here's Isaac, and he's witnessing the faith of his father. And he mirrors that faith in his life. And he not only goes up the mountain, and remember the wonderful words of his father, he says, "I and the lad shall return." Oh, he had no doubt of that, that he and his son were going to worship, but they should return. And of course, we know Isaac asked the question of, where is the sacrifice? And what a question that he asked. And this is, of course, worth reading as we look at this passage here and consider it from Isaac's perspective. Verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" That question echoes throughout the Old Testament. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And I love his answer, and you do too. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. Together. God will provide himself. I've preached this here before, now that I'm thinking about it. God will provide the lamb, and God will provide himself as the lamb.
Amen.
Not from this perspective of Isaac's faith, but he will provide. God will provide. Consider from Isaac's perspective. He lays upon the altar. He sees his father draw the blade. And he witnesses the angel stay his hand. Wow. The fear of Isaac. The fear of Isaac. Do you ever sometimes face your sin and realize that it deserves the penalty from God? Not partial penalty, but the full. And you sometimes feel burdened by the weight of your what we water down and call shortcomings. But the real debt that we owe towards God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Through Jesus Christ. You see, not only did Isaac see that blade drawn, but Isaac heard the rustle of leaves and a ram caught in the thicket. And as the angel stays the hand of his father, he's taken off of the altar. And the ram is placed on the altar. Do you all realize what that's a picture of? You see, we were on the altar for our sins, but we've been taken off, and Jesus Christ was placed on, and he died the death for our sins. Oh, what reverence we should have towards God. What fear we should have towards the goodness and the grace of God that has been extended to me. that has been extended to us? Is it so much to try to live a life that pleases him when he has saved me from so great a death? Consider that from Isaac's perspective. And I believe that that begins to define his life, define his life experience. And he continues down that path. Oh, he's not perfect. You can go to the imperfect passages too. But just consider with me how the Lord provided time and time again. You see, the Lord provided eternally for you upon the cross by giving his son, Jesus Christ. But he continues those provisions throughout your life. He provided Isaac with a wife, did he not? Through an unconventional way, at least from my perspective, Abraham sends a servant and says, go to my family's house and bring back a woman because he's not going to marry someone from Canaan. And it just so happened. I love the just so happens in Scripture. How about that? I love even more the just so happens in life. How about that? It just so happened that the very first woman that he interacts with is going to be the wife of his master's son. Just so happened she was from the right family. It was just so happened that she was willing to come back to marry a total stranger. You see, I love the words of the servant that said, help me out with that, brother.
The way.
I being in the way, the Lord has led me to the house of my master's brethren, I believe is the passage. I being in the way, the Lord has led me to the house of my master's brethren. And then he receives that blessed wife, which comforts him in the death of his mother. And then we read this passage in Genesis 26, and I'll read a little bit of this one to you. I know you're more familiar with the previous account, but Genesis chapter 26, Isaac is essentially trying to figure out where to settle in a time of famine, and he's told not to go down into Egypt. And he heeds the directions of God. He says, don't go down into Egypt. Don't go somewhere where the Lord isn't, right? Don't go down into Egypt. And so he begins looking around the Valley of Canaan, and Gerar is more specifically where he's at. And there's conflict between him and the herdmen of Gerar. And if you continue reading verse 21, they digged another well and strove for that also. So there was still strife, and he kept moving. And he came to the name of Shitna, and he moved from thence and digged another well, for they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared with him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and will multiply thy seed of thy servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And Isaac's servants digged a well. And here we see the Lord providing in the midst of a famine as he follows the instructions given to him by God. And so time and time again, we see that Isaac's life is being defined by this fear of the Lord, where he is seeking to do the will of his heavenly Father out of that great gratitude, but also that reverence of who God is and the great power that he has. You know, I don't want to skip the very best part of this message, I believe, because we know that Isaac is simply just a man and just one who strove to faithfully follow his God. But I want you to know that this quality was exemplified even more by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came and he had a reverential awe and respect towards his Father. Because Jesus, when he came down, as one of my favorite passages is in John 6, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is my Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He was always about his Father's business. You see, he had a fear of his earthly father and mother, but when he needed to be about the heavenly Father's business, what was he, even at a young age? I must be about my Father's business. The fear of the Lord. Oh, we have a great and a good Heavenly Father, a great and a good Savior who has redeemed us and has saved us. And the beginning of a life that pleases him is that desire to do his will. and to please him and only him through our life. Oh, he's worthy, and he provides as we seek to do just that. May God richly bless you, is my prayer. Amen.